Boynton County Board of Supervisors, July 9th, 2019. Are there any changes to the tentative agenda? I have none. Department heads and elected officials. Terry Johnson, Des Moines County Auditor.
Good morning. We're just busy doing everything that the auditor's office does.
That's good news.
Working on elections, you know, payroll, all of that good stuff, so.
Really like the way it's organized in there now.
Yeah.
It looks nice and clean and everything. Rodney, you did a great job.
Yeah, we are very appreciative of the guys, and we got rid of that extra desk, so that kind of gives us a little more room in there. So now you don't have any place to lay all the goodies that come in there, but, you know.
Well, we don't need all the goodies.
Rodney Buesner, Maintenance.
Good morning. Nothing new to report this morning.
Jared, Land Use.
It's been fairly, yesterday it seemed like the timing right after 4th of July with a lot of activity with people, families having time to discuss how to split up the land. So we've had several new inquiries like clockwork after that, but nothing particularly major. Yesterday I attended the Minneapolis City Council meeting. We had a discussion item for the floodplain update, the study that came out last year. That study includes some map floodplains and city limits for the first time. And the city participates in a national flood insurance program, but they need to have an ordinance established for floodplain development regulations in order to continue to participate now that there will be floodplains within city limits. So it was sort of similar to the discussion we had with Danville a few months ago, with the exception that in that case Danville had not yet participated in the NFIP. But
they have to participate to be eligible for FEMA.
Yeah, for assistance, yeah. disaster assistance funds, and for homeowners to be able to be eligible for the National Flood Insurance Program to get insurance from that. So just providing them some background information on that, so they have approximately a year now for those MAP become effective, so they can get the process going on that.
You say Danville did not participate?
No, up until this year when they took steps to participate. Yes, yes.
Schoolhouses.
Right. Yeah, because previously there were only a couple floodplains just to the south of Roosevelt, which were, most of those were on either public property or well away from any homes. So that extension kind of changed that. It followed that creek up towards the school. And then in the case of Minneapolis, it basically previously followed Hawkeye Creek right up to city limits, but now it goes all the way through on the north side to 61. So again, it's pretty much that area that's already developed around there, and the floodplain pretty much follows the creek, but it's still a case where it comes close to several homes, and so they need to have an ordinance for ensuring that development remains responsible in that area around the creek. I guess they seemed receptive to the idea that it makes sense for them to be able to remain eligible for the assistance funding from FEMA, and then also just the benefits for the homeowners.
Thanks, Jared. Ken Hyman, Community Services.
Good morning. Tomorrow we have our change agent meeting in Mount Pleasant, and we have our governing board in the afternoon. So I see on the agenda we'll be talking more about the intensive mental health services, new core services in the morning. And, you know, last month we focused on the children's. I think it looks like this month we'll focus more on the adult new core and just have some discussions about that, access centers and things like that. But nothing else to report.
Still no funding for the child services yet?
Nothing new for the regions. There's some for Medicaid but none for the regions.
None for the regions.
Yeah. No new. Yeah. Just our property tax dollars so far.
Thanks, Ken.
Good morning. Just keeping busy like always. Don't really have anything new to report. So,
Chris Lee, Conservation.
It's coming off a very busy week. 4th of July was pretty crazy for us. I want to first extend my thanks to the Sheriff's Department. They helped us out with some stuff, as they always do, some enforcement things. But otherwise, for the most part, 4th of July week is pretty good. I have some numbers to share. So for the week that included the 4th, so last week, so Monday through Sunday, just this past Sunday, we had just shy of 300 people camping in our campgrounds, which equates to 380 camper nights. So that's per unit. So a camper staying a night in a site, that counts as a camper night. And so if you have multiple campers in a site, that'll multiply your nights. And so that's how you calculate that. Just the Big Hollow alone, we had 188 camping unit nights with 184 people over the course of that week. And so Big Hollow's gotten to the point now where every Sunday afternoon we have a parade of people coming through the park, just driving through to wait to see if a site opens up, so if they can get a site, so they have it for the following weekend now. It's just, it's pushing the crazy mark now, is what that park is, has come to. The visitation is unbelievable. We have not had a weekend where we haven't been full, I think, since the middle of May. We're turning generally several campers away through the course of the weekend. I don't know how many dozens of calls we field throughout the week, people asking if we have sites. We update, try to keep our Facebook pages updated towards the end of the week. Depending on how full we're getting, we'll start putting updates up on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, stating how many sites we have available, if any, by then. So folks want to keep tabs on what's available up there, just kind of follow us on Facebook. And, you can see that, or else call our office. Other than that, our Nature Center staff just left today. A couple of them just left today with the 6 high school kids that have taken on this wilderness trip out to Colorado. So they just left this morning. That's been a big thing. We've been in the works for over a year coordinating. And so I want to give a big thanks to Deary Brothers. They loaned us the van to take out there. We had ordered one to purchase on this fiscal year, but it's not in yet. And so they helped us out and gave us one to take out there. So big thanks to them.
Where's it going, Colorado?
It's going to the South San Juan Wilderness area out there. And so it's the Pagosa Ranger District they're going into. It's a designated national wilderness area. And so been a big thing in the works, and a lot of moving parts getting all that. I mean, to put something like that together, you have no idea the permitting and all of the planning that has to go into that. I mean, we have like a 30-page operations manual that we had to write up, and then we had to give to the U.S. Forest Service, which had to be approved in order to get our permit to take people into this wilderness area. And that's a small fraction of the planning behind the scenes that had to go into making this happen. But there been a lot of organizations that have contributed to making this possible, and I really think that something like this is life-changing for people, especially young people like this. I mean, wilderness experiences, the likes that is the type of stuff that inspired the likes of Muir and Leopold and Teddy Roosevelt, and built that conservation ethic that they had. So we think that's really important. There's some other counties that have done these things, and the value of it is just astronomical. So we're excited to be able to take our Nature Center programs to that level and making that happen. So other than that, it's just trying to keep things coordinated. We have not done any repairs on the flooded areas that were damaged on the Flint River Trail. We haven't gotten some calls about that. Waiting to hear back from FEMA on what's going to come from that. There's a large section of trail there off of the 155th Avenue, that old county road that was vacated to make the trail. We lost the trail completely. Base rock, subgrade and everything. There's a large section of it that's just gone. And so we're waiting to see what we get for help for putting that back together. And so right now that section of the trail is essentially impassable. So, and we are getting some calls about that, so just let you know about that. Otherwise, it's just keeping the park functioning and going. Hopefully things will slow down a little bit now that we're past all the major holidays, at least between now and September, so I guess we'll see.
Okay. Good. Thank you. Brian Carter, Secondary Roads.
Good morning. I'd mentioned that the email I got said that the the closure and the lane closure, I should say, maybe not all the work, but the lane closure out on Old 34 should wrap up this week. So where those crossings are, I think that should be back to four lane, I would think. So just a heads up on that. Sometime this month, the contractor should come in and start on the bridge on Sperry Road. We bid that last winter, and the late start date is the end of July. We've asked multiple times, and multiple times we've had different projections of dates that they might come in. So, and I think the wet weather kept pushing stuff back this spring, and so time will tell. One time it was late June, and then it was around the 4th, and we haven't heard from them, and we've checked with them again. So they have a little bit to start, but either way, when that, obviously when that comes along, they'll close the road and put a new bridge in. So when I know more, I'll let you know, but that will come along. And then the guys are still working on the ditching project along Pleasant Grove Road. We're doing that ahead of the eventual paving project that we've bid for that first roughly 1,000 feet west of that bridge, the worst section right there. So other than that, a lot of stuff still going behind the scenes on things. The guys are, I think the second of the larger patches that we were going to do out on Bridgeport was getting poured today. That'll be most of the concrete patching we're gonna do out there. We have a new one that popped up in Middletown, what, a week ago or so, something like that. We're gonna line up a contractor and see if we can't get that dealt with as soon as possible.
Middletown, that's where they put that.
That was a Middletown.
They're the ones that did that.
That was a Middletown project. I talked to Middletown. They don't plan on doing anything for that. So going forward, there'll be a different conversation with Middletown about any projects they think they're going to do out on the highway. So
that shouldn't fall on the counties at all. That's their project.
Well, I'm not going to disagree with you, but being as the county's got the road responsibility, and when I touch base with Middletown, they don't intend to do anything. I wasn't impressed. I'm not sure there's any rebar in it, at least from what I can tell. So we'll obviously know when we pull it out, and when we do it, we'll get it done in better shape. I think there were some issues there to start with. But I don't think that, I think there was a blow up that we've dealt with other places. In fact, we had our first big one about a week ago on one of those 90 degree days. I think there was a blow up, and then I think that concrete job had maybe no rebar from what I can see, or so little rebar that it ended up, that's where the failure happened. I think there would have been a problem back to the west underneath the asphalt. I think there would have been something there, which we might have been able just to mill the asphalt down and level out. But because of that concrete, I think that concrete gave right there. So, but when you look down in those saw joints, I don't see any rebar running from slab to slab. So I don't know. Like I said, it will be a different conversation if and when they ever want to do anything out there again. So so I would say I'm not too thrilled on that one, but we'll own it, we'll deal with it, we'll move on and get it fixed. So other than that, like I said, guys are still working on FEMA projects. We're trying to get a little bit of patching and stuff done ahead of Rag Ride in between everything else. And just moving along. I think we're further behind than we were, but that's okay. That's the way it goes. Job security, maybe. So, thank you.
Thanks, Brian. Mike Johnstone, DeWitt County Sheriff.
Morning, Tom. I'd say relatively quiet and safe 4th weekend, and we were on the river and did some boat checks. Everything went real well. We had real good compliance with that, so very, very well received. So, thankfully, it was a pretty decent weekend and a holiday.
Good.
As far as fireworks go and boating and everything else that normal goes and all of that. So.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Tom.
Janelle Nellie Longquist, Moyne County Treasurer.
Good morning. Really don't have anything new to report other than we are keeping busy, especially in the motor vehicle department.
Thank you. Krista Pogemiller, County Health, Public Health.
Good morning. Keeping busy. This time of the year, we're doing our mosquito trapping, so we're in the middle of that, along with our immunization clinics that we have going on. We are starting a couple new classes this month. One is our matter of balance class, and that's for...
The what?
Matter of balance class.
Oh, okay.
So that's for anyone who has problems with balance, and so it's a six-week program that we're making open to the public, as well as our diabetes prevention program. We also are continuing that as well. So just have some classes and continuing on.
Thank you. I don't think I missed anybody. Correspondence.
None.
We'll proceed to discussion and vote. We have a Class C liquor license for the Hy-Vee for the Stark wedding at the Barn on the Ridge for July 25th.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brooker?
Yes. Cash on hand letters. Does anybody want me to go through this office by office? I see the assessor has $15. I would entertain a motion to approve them as a whole.
Move to approve.
Second. Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Tom Brooker?
Yes. Stamp these and hand them to you, and I will sign them as they come back. We have reports. We have the recorder's report of fees collected for June 2019. The auditor's report of fees collected for the quarter ending June 30th, 2019. And Veterans Affairs report for June 2019. These reports will be on file at the auditor's office and available for public review. Suffering from holiday lag.
Brent has my, I suppose.
We have minutes for the regular meeting of July 2nd, 2019.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brooker?
Yes. Any other business?
I have none.
Future agenda items? I have none. Committee reports?
I don't have either. I don't have that either.
The holiday week? I have none. Public input? If anybody from the public would like to address the board, please stand, identify yourself for the record and your address. See no one rise with an eye or a jerk.
Aye.
Aye. You're a jerk.